Testing my mic. Testing my mic for audio.
Boys in the bright white sports car?
Trooper. Hello and welcome to episode 47 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. I am Alan, and here I am in Vancouver, and with me, as always,
Adam.
Not side by side, though.
No.
This is what happens when you get really busy. We're in the same city, and we're Skyping.
Well, to be fair, it is a 25-minute drive.
It's about a 25-minute drive. No, it's probably more than that in traffic.
In traffic, probably 35.
Because right now, it's a bad time, and traffic is no fun.
Right.
Everybody's freaking out because they gotta go home and they clog it all up. You know how traffic works. But my point is it gets dark at around 1:30 in the afternoon now.
Yeah.
And everybody just freaks out. So, yeah, and this is what happens when you're busy. I'm super busy. Had a really been really busy week and day, and you're busy. So,
just doing it, going our separate ways, but together.
The point being is that we still make time for each other, and I think that's important.
That is. Always make time.
Yeah. Okay.
Now that's done.
Yeah, now the awkwardness is behind us. What did you shoot this week?
I shot a few more white background pictures of my daughter, Sarah.
Just kidding. I asked him to say that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We had a Christmas party. My sister-in-law's Christmas party on Saturday morning, and so
November.
Yeah, it's kind of that time of year for Christmas parties. They start early, so
yeah.
We were on our way out, and I thought, oh, she's dressed up in a nice, cute little dress, and again, doesn't get dressed up like that very often. So I decided to pose her and take a few pictures. So that's pretty much the extent of it. We did that, and then I took a couple of pictures pre going to Disney on Ice on the weekend last week, and we're going to Toy Story 3 Disney on Ice with the kids. So my kids, having costumes from Halloween of the Toy Story characters, decided that they were going to get dressed up for the show. So I took a few pictures of them together in their Toy Story costume and did a little photoshopping to put the Toy Story background behind them.
I noticed that.
Yeah. I went the extra mile.
It's going to be weird when Sarah grows out of her Jesse outfit. But then the good news is Jack will grow into it.
Yeah. No, he's very sensitive to boy things and girl things, surprisingly, at 2.5.
Really?
Yeah. I think kind of because Sarah tells him, like, oh, no, that's a girl thing. So he doesn't go too close to her clothes or anything. So not that, you know, we're really trying to deter it, just that Sarah has pretty much told him that anything pink and anything of a dress is only for girls and not for boys. So,
all right, Dr. Spock, that's good to hear. Great, and also you came and helped. You came and shot some stuff with me at a corporate event.
Yes, we did that. So I didn't know. Sorry,
we black tied it.
Yeah, we got dressed up.
We looked like Reservoir Dogs at some point.
We were still underdressed compared to the rest of them.
Well, it was a black tie event, and so it was tuxedos, and we both wore black ties, but did not go for the full tuxedo and jacket and all that.
Correct. I don't own one.
Which you pointed, well, you own a black jacket.
I do.
And I do too, but it's currently in a place I like to call Germany. So I didn't pack it. So I didn't think I would need it, and then we got there and you pointed out at dinner, hey, everybody's wearing their jacket but us.
Yes. And they did. I looked back through the pictures, and every single guy that we took a picture of that entire night is wearing his jacket, except for one fellow towards the end who was having a little bit of fun.
I've been invited to that event like as a guest, not to work, in the past, and I noticed that too. I was waiting to take my jacket off. Never happened.
Yeah.
I just kind of waited, uh-oh, I guess I better keep it on the whole time.
And so you were a sweaty mess by the end of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was my red Canucks jacket, too, so I still stood out a little bit. But what did you think about shooting at that event?
I thought it was a good experience. I definitely think that there's a point between where photography is fun and photography is work. And that was entering into the realm that I haven't entered before, which is photography being work. Because what time did we get there?
Yeah, we got there at what, like 5 o'clock, 5:30?
Yeah, and what time do you figure we left?
Ooh, 1?
Yeah, that's too long for me to take pictures.
Yeah. That was a long event. Yeah,
yeah, that's where I sort of thought that, you know, I had a new respect for, again, I do my job and I do it for a long period of time, but it's different. That's what I'm used to. That's my comfort zone. And right. So doing this, and again, I've been a hobby photographer. I take pictures of the kids, and I don't think I've ever taken pictures over a time span of greater than 2 hours ever. And so to be doing it still at the 6 hour mark after a couple of glasses of wine, yeah, I was fading quickly.
And also, I mean, I find that if you're not operating on basic, like, just complete instinct in a lot of situations where you have to think about, okay, what should I be, you know, focusing on here? What should my aperture be? If you have to think about that for 7 hours, that gets exhausting.
Yeah, I don't think I thought about it too much.
No, I noticed in the pictures, but yeah. They turned out great. I was glad you came along. I mean, it's an event I've shot in the past by myself before. Basically, I've strapped two cameras and just fired away because it was very low lighting.
Yeah.
And so generally, I like to use prime lenses no matter what, and so that means at least two cameras.
Yeah.
So in this case, I got to use one camera, and you were on the other, and it worked out quite well.
Yeah, and you got some wide shots, and then you got some real nice shallow depth of field shots with the lens you were using.
I've been shooting with the 85mm f1.8 lens, and I love that thing. Like, I've always been a fan of my 50mm lens on every camera I've ever used.
Yeah.
And lately, I borrowed my dad's 85mm to go on my full-frame 5D, and it's hard to make a bad photo with that thing.
And how much is that lens? Like, what does that run new?
In Canada, they're just under 600, I think.
Okay.
But just really worth it. It is just the images I'm getting, I've been shooting around with it, just sort of snapshots of my daughter and my wife, and the results have been outstanding.
Yeah, and I looked through the pictures because you sort of, you know, set up a spot where I could look through all the pictures we took. And again, I handed over my memory card, so never saw, you know, the final result of the pictures that I took. Mm-hmm. And when we looked through them, I mean, partly too because it's a wider angle lens that I was using, but you could just see from the depth of field, even though I was using a 30mm or 1.4, it was, right, your Sigma mm-hmm. lens, I could see, yep, Al took that one just because of how shallow and how sharp the depth of field on those shots are.
Yes.
That, and I guess you're just good, right? You're just good?
Yeah. Well, a lot of that's me, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other reason before we move on is that it was great to have two shooters because you could go around with the 30mm lens on the crop sensor camera, and I could stick with the 85, which gave a little longer reach, and so you kind of had to get up in people's faces and get intimate with them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's instead of hanging back and just kind of shooting long lens stuff, because at a party, it's very difficult to do that because there's, you know, a lot of backs to you and whatnot. So it kind of forces you to get up close, and which you ended up doing on a lot of them. So it was really good results.
I'm glad.
So there's that. Photo challenge.
Yes.
Let's talk about it. This week's challenge was an out-of-focus picture.
Intentionally out of focus.
Now, why would we do this? What would be the purpose? Is this a picture you're going to frame? Would you frame an out-of-focus picture?
Probably not.
You might.
I guess. I had, to be honest, when I thought about this, I had no idea how to intentionally do this. I know I have a lot of pictures that I take unintentionally out of focus.
Right.
But I've never gone about trying to shoot an intentionally out of focus shot.
And when I had thought about this a long time ago, so I was glad that you mentioned it, because you and I sort of discussed this concept, like, you know, a few weeks ago or something like that before the challenge came up. And part of the reason that I think this is a good challenge isn't for the end result necessarily, but it kind of provides some insight into how to take pictures when there are in focus and certain things to do. So before we get into that, let's have a look at the pictures.
Okay, so you want to start with yours?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What do we got here? So first of all, nothing is in focus.
Right.
There's nothing at all. Everything is completely out. And so go. You tell me what's going on here.
I'm guessing this is looking out your window in your apartment at the buildings behind you?
Correct.
Yeah, I've seen those buildings, so to me it was obvious.
Are they buildings? Like, is it easy to tell?
Easy enough, yeah.
Okay. And what else we got going on?
Obviously, the rain in Vancouver, so this is a rainy day, which is like a lot of days in Vancouver, on your window. So you got the rain, and you've got you looking outside at the rain.
There you go, and that was what I wanted to tell. I wanted to tell that story, that looking out my window, or a window, it could be any window, if you don't know my apartment, in the rain. And part of that is if I made it too out of focus, you wouldn't be able to identify that those are in fact buildings.
Right.
And so that would be limiting. The other thing is if it's not out of focus enough, it doesn't look like you intentionally put it out of focus. It looks like you missed.
Right.
And so that's always a thing, is, you know, a consideration is how far out of focus do you go?
I don't know.
I took a couple, because a couple of them went way too far out of focus.
Right.
Have you ever done any woodwork?
No.
This is kind of ties in. This is hopefully this ties into photography.
Tell us, Mr. Attridge.
If you do any woodwork, which I do, and let's say you're going to cut a bunch of pieces, you're going to rip a bunch of pieces on the table saw.
Right.
And you got to rip 3 or 4 pieces off that are, say, 2 inches wide.
Okay.
So you put the fence up at 2 inches, you rip them off, go. So you put it down, go grab yourself a coffee, and you have to rip a bunch more pieces, but these ones are going to be 2 1/4 inches wide.
Okay.
Say, before you go for coffee, you take that fence and you move it 20 inches away. You go way out so that it's purposely not doesn't look close to 2 inches.
Right.
It's definitely out. There's no question. So you come back, you don't accidentally rip your next pieces too small.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I get where you're going.
And so that's what I do. You're doing here is you want to go far enough away that it doesn't look like you tried to be in focus.
Right.
And that's actually how I put my camera away as well.
Okay. But, now, I have a question for you. Are you framing this?
Am I framing this?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
No, are you putting this up somewhere?
No. I'm not going to. This won't be a framer.
Right.
I like the composition. I kind of like the picture well enough. It looks like a really poor attempt at some sort of Van Gogh or something, or a Monet. Let's say a Monet, but it's not.
Yeah,
I like what happens with the rain droplets in front of the buildings are kind of a lighter color, and the ones above are darker. I like what's going on. I like the color temperature, because the color temperature to me, I paid very close attention to this so that it would kind of denote that rainy day feel.
Yeah.
I wanted it kind of blue because that's a, you know, the feeling denotes that. But not being able to focus, sort of like, it's like a blind man. Apparently they have really good hearing and smell, if I'm to believe the movies.
Okay.
That's what I felt like in the rest of this picture. I paid specific attention to framing, like to composition, I mean, to other elements, because I couldn't use focus to help tell the story.
Right.
So that was kind of the whole purpose of this challenge, was to see what else you could do to continue telling the story.
Okay, now can you tell that again? Because I don't think we got it.
The point of it... Huh?
No, I think it's good.
I meant the heightened senses part.
Right. You made your point.
Like Spider-Man. You know how it tingles?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Can we talk about my picture now?
Well, just briefly, and we'll move on.
Okay. All right. So you tell me. What happened here?
Someone's putting up some blue Christmas lights.
Who is that someone?
That is your wife.
Yes.
I can tell by the stripe on her pants.
Yes. No, and the point of my picture was you know, this is the time of year. People are starting usually December 1st. Today's November 30th, so we're a day early here. But we're putting up the Christmas lights on the front of the house. So, you know, we talked about previously, and this I specifically went with the intent to do this. This was not an accident, but we had a nice clear night here today. So we've got the nice clear blue sky. We're putting up blue Christmas lights. That just happens to be the color we have. But we talked about previously about at this time of year, the blue light and then, you know, the contrast with the warm tones. Mm-hmm. Well, I saw the lights on in the houses, you know, basically across the street. And I specifically took this angle so that I could get the warm inside versus the cool outside sort of color temperature change. And then I liked the car, you know, that was sort of parked. That's our neighbor's car. And just a little bit of red light you pick up coming off of the front of the car. So I liked the contrast with the warm and the cool tones here. So that's what I was basically trying to do. So I think, yeah, the point is that, you know, Lisa's putting up the Christmas lights, but really I was after, I like the color combinations that were out here.
Looks great.
So that's it.
To still tell a story with using the other elements, like we already said.
And I did the same thing you did. I took it with variable amounts of out of focus. I just, you know, basically played with the manual focus ring, right? So mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what you did. Just got rid of autofocus and just manually, you know, took it further and further out of focus. And when it's too out of focus, you're right, it just doesn't look like anything. And if I make it any more in focus than this, then it just looks like I missed. So I tried to find that delicate balance.
You nailed it. It's I tend to focus in front of my image generally. That's okay. How I get a nice kind of blur. If depending on what lens you're using and all that, if you focus past infinity, you might not get out of focus enough.
Yeah.
But generally, if you focus in front, if you're far enough away, you're going to get the desired result.
Okay.
So there we go.
There we go.
So let's get back into a couple quick notes from last week's show.
Okay.
Wow, was that a long...
What, last episode?
I thought we were going to do all of workflow in one episode, and turns out, just part of it.
When was the last episode that wasn't long?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it... we had a short one when we had Howie...
No, that was rhetorical.
No, that's trying to make an NFL joke there.
It's okay.
Thanks for stepping on it. It's awesome. At first, I thought the shows were long because I rambled, but I think it's because you step on all the jokes.
So you have to retell them?
Well, we don't want to leave anything on the table, do we?
No, we don't.
So there's that. So going back, we had some feedback from last week's show. We had a couple things. A few different people wrote in. One point, I don't have the name in front of me, and I'm sorry, but whoever wrote in basically pointed out that you don't necessarily need Aperture or Lightroom, that you can go ahead and use, there's free online services you can use. I think you can use, Google has some things, like some tools you can use. Oftentimes your camera probably comes with some free software that you can use to process your RAW files.
Yeah.
What I like about Aperture and Lightroom is that you can actually manage all your files as well. And there's other ways to do it. There's plenty of ways to do it. So the important thing is that you find what works for you and what works for your pocketbook. So there's lots of free alternatives out there. You don't have to go ahead and make the choice. We also got some feedback on you being an Apple snob.
No.
Yeah, of course we did. And me too.
Okay.
Because... I don't know why. I don't care why, actually. At no point am I suggesting that you have to use Apple or that I'm awesome because I use Apple. I'm actually just awesome because I'm awesome.
Right.
And happen to use Apple. The two are mutually exclusive.
Right.
No, it's... I don't work for Apple. I don't have stock in Apple. I don't care if you buy an Apple.
Okay.
How does that sound?
It sounds good.
If you want to use a PC, use a PC. PCs are awesome now. I heard someone talking about cars the other day on a different podcast and saying that there's no bad cars right now. Like, if you go buy a new car, it's going to be good because everybody's making good cars. Everybody's making good computers. Like, are you kidding with the technology these days?
Yeah.
It's outstanding. The technology is better than you.
Okay.
It's better than me. It's everything is surpassing us. We're not going to use all of it.
So you're not an Apple snob?
No, I am, but that's on my own.
Okay.
I don't care. Like, the show is not about that. We've been very clear that we're not specific to any camera manufacturer or any computer manufacturer. Quite frankly, I don't care about that stuff.
If someone wants to send us a camera or a PC, though, I'm happy to receive it.
Oh, yeah. Can I run Apple on the PC?
Sure.
Yeah, if someone wants to go ahead and send me a Nikon, that would be fine with me.
Yes.
Actually, go ahead and send it to Adam. I'm sorted for cameras. But again, I've always wanted someone to send me a Leica, and so far I keep checking my mailbox. No Leica.
Okay.
No Leica M3, so I'm not really that specific. But long story, still long. I don't think we're really interested in the computer wars.
We're not interested.
No, there's a long behind us. I have bigger things to worry about.
Okay.
Like video game wars. Who makes a better video game console?
I don't know.
Just kidding. I don't know either. So anyways, and if people ask, hey, what do you use? I will tell them. For various reasons, I use Aperture. I have an Apple. I use Aperture. Why not Lightroom? Well, Lightroom costs more money. It's got more features, and if you don't know what those features do for you, then you probably don't need them. Aperture works awesome.
Okay.
So that's it. The second thing I wanted to mention, or third thing, I'm losing track at this point, is when I use, I talked about an automator workflow.
Yes.
To rename my files. I actually have two of them. I created two of them. We just copy and pasted one, but I actually have a different one for each camera that I have.
Okay.
Because I have one that's for the 5D and I have one for the 40D, so that way I can instantly tell, I can scan through and tell the difference between which is which. So I don't know if that's important to you, but...
Not to me.
Not to you, because if you have the one camera, there's not much point.
Right.
But if you have two and they both use the similar naming convention, the IMG / four-digit number... Then you're ultimately going to you could get duplicates again in the same month if you're on the same naming, if you're close to the same numbering.
Right. Yeah.
So I have two. I name each of them individually, and somebody, more than one person, asked if we could post that online, and I will. I will post it for a download when I get a chance.
Okay.
And we're out of time.
Yes.
So let's get into this week's section of workflow because we're not going to get through all this either. That's the best part.
Can you give us another woodworking analogy?
It's like in woodworking when you sand and sand and sand and you're out of sandpaper.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yes, exactly.
So let's get into this week. We're going to start talking about sorting. So you've imported all your pictures. You've gone back and deleted them from the hard drive where they don't exist.
Right.
Where they exist, but you're not going to need them. So now you want to sort them. How do you go through and what do you do to sort of cull your pictures?
I'm not sure I understand.
Oh, so you're saying that every single photo you shoot is a Rembrandt?
No, I delete the ones I don't like.
How?
I delete.
What's your methodology? Tell me. Start from you've imported your pictures into the unnamed file program management of your choice.
Yes, and then I put it into a folder with the month and the year.
Okay.
Yeah, so then I look at those pictures from the import, and I go through and I basically delete the ones that I don't like, that I know I'm not going to use in the future.
So that's the first thing you do. And how do you delete? What's the simple way? In Aperture, what is the simple delete?
I just basically move them to the trash, and then I delete the trash once I've gone through all the pictures that day.
Okay. Like you click on it, physically drag it into the trash?
No, I just right-click and then move to trash. And I have a few in a row, usually I'll sort of look at the thumbnails first and just get an idea. If I took 10 of those pictures, or hopefully not 10, but if I took 4 or 5 of a similar picture, I'll kind of scroll through, find the one I like, and then the other 3 or 4, I'll just basically, shift click and then I'll drag them to the trash, or I'll just right click and move them to the trash.
Okay, I'm going to teach you a better way.
Okay.
And you feel free to tell me to go pound sand if you don't like it.
I might.
You might. First things first, I like to go through, and it takes me a couple passes through my pictures. So what I do is I basically set the my aperture to quick preview.
Okay.
Because rather than sift, go through and hit all the full raw images,
yeah,
which isn't a big deal for you because you have a pretty fast computer and you're shooting 10 megapixel images.
Right.
So yours handles raw very quickly. Now, I have a laptop, which is not quite as quick as your iMac, and I'm shooting 21 megapixel raw pictures, so it's a fair bit larger.
Yeah.
Over twice. There you go. So it's much faster to set something to quick preview. So if you look at that, basically it shows you a preview image instead of the full raw file.
Okay.
Now, for critical focus and stuff like that, it's not much good, I find. However, you can scroll through them very fast and quickly identify if it's a keeper or if it's not.
Yeah.
So there's, depending on what kind of ratio I feel like I've shot, like if I know that I've shot 100 pictures and I know that I've really only shot 5 good ones, I might just go through and pick those 5 out, or I might go through and just basically, like you say, delete the ones that I know I'm not going to use. So let's take it from that angle.
Okay.
If we go through and I use the rating system 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 stars.
Yeah, I don't use that.
Here we go. Now there's another one on there. There's a 9. 9 is basically delete. It's saying, hey, I'm not using this one. I forget what the nomenclature is, what 9 actually means. It's a big X. It just says, hey, get out of here.
Yeah.
That's what I would suggest you do in the future rather than delete. This will speed things up tremendously for you. If you go through and just look at the ones that you're going to delete and hit 9 instead of delete, it's going to mark them all. Then it's quite simple to go back and view just all your 9s and move them to the trash all at once.
Okay, so I see. In the under the rating, there's a reject thing, yeah.
Reject, that's what it's called. 9 is reject.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure it's called something else in Aperture and something else again and whatever else other programs are out there. So that's one way to do it, is to get rid of the ones that you know you're not going to use. Maybe you bumped the camera. Maybe they're wildly out of focus. Go through and get rid of just 9 all the ones you're not going to use.
Okay.
Then I tend to go through and start to rate the ones that I like, because I've already gone through them once and I have an idea of what I like. So I'm going to go through and I'm going to set 1s and go, you know what, these are acceptable. So using the right arrow, the right and left arrow, you can scroll through your pictures very quickly. And left hand on the 1, just fire away and quickly mark all the ones that you like.
Okay.
Then you go up and you basically set your filter to read 1 star or better. And it's going to not show, it won't delete anything, but it's going to not show your unrated picks. It's just going to show everything that's got 1 star. Then I go through again and pick out my best of those. But now it's getting easy because I've seen them twice and I know what ones I'm going to like. And then I basically call them 2 stars.
Okay.
And then by that point, I'm usually done, unless I have to do some crazy things. But by that point, I know what I want. And so I can then set the filter to go 2 stars and up. And that's all that it shows is my final selects.
Okay, but then you still haven't deleted anything.
Well, you can go back and delete. Now you can basically set your filter to show everything that is exactly 1 star. If you're going to delete your 1 stars, you can set your filter to show only 1 stars, and you can delete all of them at once.
Right.
You can set your filter to show only unrated or only rejected.
Okay.
And by using the filtering system, you have much more control, and it goes much, much quicker. And
it seems like a lot of work.
It's actually not. It might, the first time through, it's actually much faster because it becomes very intuitive. And you'll be very, very... I bet you will cut your call time in half.
Okay.
So there's that.
I'll try it. I'll try anything.
Okay, so, but now generally, once I've done the first pass where I've just deleted everything that is no good, I then turn off quick preview. Because quick preview, as I mentioned, isn't great when it comes to critical focus. And except for this week's challenge pick, I'm I'm focused on focus.
Okay, yeah.
Dude, that was where you say wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Oh, great.
I don't do that.
I feel like you could have zinged me there.
No, I don't do that. I'm a nice person.
Yeah, no, you're the greatest. But when I go through and I want to double check my focus, how do you check focus when you're going through your pictures?
I usually zoom in and look at the eyes.
How do you zoom? Okay, why the eyes? That's where you focused.
Yes.
Okay, how do you zoom in?
I use the command and then the plus key and then just kind of click it up.
That works?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I didn't know you could zoom further.
You can zoom all the way in.
Can't you just use the Z and it'll zoom in automatically?
Is it just Zed on its own?
Uh-huh. Fun fact, the answer is yes. Zed.
Yeah, but it zooms all the... Oh, okay, I see. So it just goes all the... Yeah, but then you get... Does it know where you want to zoom?
Well, that's a great question. Are you asking a leading question, or do you really want to know?
I kind of want to know, but not if it's going to be a woodworking story.
This one's got to do with welding. Have you ever done arc welding? No, nothing to do with that. Actually, the best part, I'm assuming it doesn't Lightroom 2. I don't care. As I mentioned, what I love about Apple is that you hit the Zed.
Yeah.
It zooms into where you have the cursor.
Oh.
If you want to zoom into a certain part of the picture, you put the cursor over top of that. Boom, Zed. That's it. You go all the way in to that point.
That is awesome.
So you want to check focus in a heartbeat? That's how you do it.
I like it.
That's the hot move. So I don't.
Now you saved me time. You just saved me time right now.
I saved you time and you didn't know it on that last little move. The multiple pass move.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the plus zoom in and out. I don't think I'm going to use it aside from checking it out and just seeing what it does.
Yeah.
Can it go past 100%? Can you zoom in closer?
I think so.
I don't know that I would ever do that, but it'd be nice.
Yeah, it
to
goes
know.
To like 400, 1,000%.
All right, because there is the zoom tool. Like you can zoom in and have the loop and all that.
Yes,
I don't use that.
See, I that's how I've always done it. It's just again, but it does, you know, over doing that over and over again over pictures, it probably takes you three times as much time. So
right.
Yeah, I like your move. I will use it.
This is the thing with these kinds of programs is there's a lot of stuff in there that you may or may not use. Like you find what works best for you and roll with it. And that's the Zed button works the best for me.
Okay.
So, but I forgot all about the loop feature. Good point. Anyways, after that, now what? You've gone through and you've selected, you know, your pictures based on your actual raw files and not the quick preview. Because if you zoom in on a preview, you're not going to get a great idea of focus, like critical focus. So that's why I highly recommend you turn off the quick preview when you go through this pass.
Okay.
Okay. Once that's done, what happens next?
I'm not sure.
Time to make adjustments.
Oh, yes, adjustments.
Except, see, that's all you, because I know you just shoot and shoot and shoot and worry about it in post.
No, I don't.
Of course you don't. That's true. That actually is true. We didn't have to make that many adjustments on... Because I did all the post work on those, the event photos we took the other night.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to do that much in the way of post-production.
Well, that's good.
I mean, white balance was clearly an issue.
Yes.
Because that's the one thing where I end up doing a lot more work in post than I'd like. But in that situation, we had so many mixed light sources that there's nothing we could do. We tried shooting with the gray card. We tried white balancing manually. But because we were moving around in and out of so many different light sources, it just was not possible.
Right.
So that's a situation where you got to shoot and shoot and shoot and deal with white balance later.
Yeah.
So somebody asked, what order do you... basically start making adjustments, because there's a lot of adjustments to make.
I don't make that many adjustments, typically maybe a little bit of sharpening depending on the picture. So I start basically in the order of the sliders and move my way down.
Yep.
Is that what you do?
I do that. I feel like they put them in that order on purpose.
Yeah.
And so I use their order.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll kind of double back on something. But in terms of, you know, color correction, exposure, contrast, I don't know that it matters that much. I try to get the color first. That's somewhere near the top, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you'll find that later on, if you're going to do converting to black and white or something, your color temperature does matter in your final output. Yes. Final output. So I tend to do that first, and then deal with exposure and. Contrast, I don't mess with very often.
Me either.
I used to do a lot more messing with contrast, and that was when I had cheaper lenses. I found that, like, for instance, if you're shooting with your kit lens,
yeah,
you'd probably be better off cranking up the contrast a little bit in post. You're going to get better results.
Okay. I do find that it looks unnatural when I do that.
Depends how far you go. I go very, very small amount.
Okay.
And even then, I don't use the contrast, like the brightness contrast slider. I go down and basically change the midtones under the highlights and shadows section.
Yep.
I basically put a 0.05% highlight recovery, which then activates the mid-tone contrast slider, and I make that to about a 2.0, or in black and white, a 4 or a 6.0. That's just how I happen to like it. That's just, I don't go much farther than that.
Okay.
But now when I shoot with my L lenses, right around 2 is perfect. When I shoot with slightly cheaper lenses, I find I need to ramp up a little more contrast. So you'll probably find a difference in your kit lens versus your 50mm 1.8.
Yes, I don't need to use much on the kit lens or on the 1.8.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what we do there. What else do you find that you change quite frequently?
Usually saturation a little bit. I like to add, depending on, you know, what my kids are wearing and what sort of colors in the background, but I usually like to pump up the saturation a little bit. Not a major adjustment, but a little bit. I tend to saturate and then use a little bit of the vibrancy slider. So usually just a couple of points on each of those.
Yep. I would say go very, very light on the saturation.
Yeah.
Once in a while I will pump it up like to 0.05% or whatever the first level is.
Yeah.
And I don't go much further than that because it starts to look unnatural. And even then, depends on the lighting. I don't always use it. What about sharpening? What do you do for sharpening?
Sometimes I use Photoshop for sharpening. Sometimes I use the edge sharpening, I think there's a couple of different sliders, but the edge sharpening I find just to make the eye light sometimes, or the catch light sometimes, pop a little bit more.
Yep.
But I don't know the number is consistent. Again, sometimes, again, depending on the light and whether I've lit it or whether it's ambient light, sometimes it doesn't require, you know, much sharpening at all, and sometimes it requires a little bit more. So
right.
I don't have a set level that I set it to.
So what's the science behind sharpening?
I guess it just makes the edges appear...
No, that's not what I meant. What's the science behind how much sharpening you need?
I don't think it's what you like.
It is a dark art, man. To the point that I've kind of looked at a lot of my 35mm film pictures that I've had printed.
Yeah.
And I look at those and I look and think, they're not sharpened. There's a certain minor kind of softness. And I hesitate to say soft because they're not really soft. They are sharp images. But they're not razor sharp. They're not over sharpened. And so consequently, in the last 6-8 months, I have backed off. In the last 6 months, I have backed off the sharpening tool.
Yeah.
There's a certain amount that you need because of the way the camera works, which is kind of built into your raw converter program. It will already compensate. And after that, I don't even touch sharpening anymore.
Okay.
I've just moved on. I used to do it, and sometimes every once in a while, if I'm going to put a very small image on the web, I'll go into Photoshop and do some unsharp mask. But I do that almost never now. So there's that. Okay. What about grain reduction?
I never used it.
How come?
I don't know. I just...
Or not grain reduction. No, it's basically reducing grain. Yeah, it's noise reduction.
I've never used it. I don't remember exactly why, but I read somewhere it was bad.
Well, it's kind of a trick, too. It's basically softening your image, and there are better ones out there. Like, you can go ahead and do it. It's never been a concern for me because I'm looking at images that I'm shooting at ISO 1600 on my 5D.
Right.
And there is a little bit of noise.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care. It looks fine to me. The image is... generally, I try to shoot good images so that people don't care about the noise. And I come from the film background where I like grain. Grain, for lack of a better word, is good.
Okay.
I love it, especially in black and white photography when you're going to go and shoot ISO 16 or 3200. I love how grain looks. So I don't mind it so much. I don't mind the noise in digital photography. I try to avoid it by basically not bringing up the blacks too much. Like, if you bring up your shadows, and then in the instead of having rich blacks, you can have grainy, and that's where you kind of you see it.
Yeah.
I try to avoid shooting that if I can. And if I can't, oh well, c'est la vie.
Yeah, it's never bothered me either.
So, other people really like to get rid of the noise reduction, but I find that kind of messes with your sharpness. So, for me, it's not a good trade-off.
All right.
Okay, what else you got?
That's it.
That's it. We're done. No, what do you do?
I don't change. After that, we've mentioned all the parameters that I ever change, so there isn't anything else that I change. You might change other things, but I'm out of changes.
I change less than that. I don't adjust very much at all. Every once in a while, I will. There is one cheat that I do. It's like the poor man's polarizing filter.
Okay.
Where I will go in to the, I don't know, you know what it's called, the color sliders. What do you call them when you can go in and do a selective color?
Yeah, I think that's what I'd call them. They're, you can select any particular color and make adjustments to that color only, right?
I feel like I should have done my homework.
Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of that, but sometimes I'll go in and find the blue. I will crank up the what will I do? Well, I crank up the saturation. Do I have to load up aperture to let you know what I do? What do you do?
No. You taught me that trick, and that was only, I don't know, 6 or 7 episodes ago.
Luminance.
Yeah, luminance. You can change the luminance, and you can change the saturation on any particular color.
Right.
And so if you got a nice blue sky, but you want it more blue, and you don't have a whole bunch of other blues in the picture that it's going to mess up, you can just selectively increase saturation in the blue.
Right. That's what I do, is I basically ramp up the saturation a little bit while cranking down the luminance.
Yeah, and then it really kind of brings out the color.
So that's kind of a way to make it really pop. You can get your skies really dark and blue, and hopefully your clouds will pop from there.
And I've done that.
It doesn't replace. Go ahead.
No, I said I've done that since you mentioned it, and it is a pretty cool effect, but then I kind of feel too like it is cheating, so I use it sparingly.
Absolutely, you have to use it sparingly, and it's no substitute for a polarizer, but it in a pinch, it'll help you out. So that's one little move you can pull. So that's it. You got your images adjusted. What do you do with them?
Share them.
Via?
My wife uses her blog.
Okay.
That's pretty much how we show. We use.
So like what do you do? So what do you? How do you get them out of Aperture into your wife's blog?
Well, I usually just export them directly from Aperture
as
JPEGs.
Okay, JPEGs. Right down to JPEGs.
So I export them as JPEGs, and I usually reduce the size by half. So they usually end up being about 500-600K files.
Okay.
And then I usually put a little stamp on them for her blog. So I have a little app that photo stamps them, and I just put her little tag on the photos, and then I put
We have a name for that.
What? Watermark. Yeah, watermark. So I use that, and then it goes into a Dropbox where I put all of her pictures that she can then they show up on her computer.
Okay. I also use Dropbox. That's what I was getting at.
We're promoting Dropbox?
If you're not using Dropbox, and these guys are not a sponsor yet, if you're not using Dropbox, you should be.
It's pretty cool.
I love it. I've signed up as many people as I can. It's just a great way to share files and back stuff up. I mostly use it for sharing files.
And I do the same. And I have every family member that wants pictures from me has a folder. We share a folder, and then I just basically export the pictures that they would want into their mm-hmm. folder, and voila, they appear on their computer.
That's correct.
And it's free. Now, there is a well, I guess there's pay versions, but I have the free account. Yeah,
I also use the free one. And so basically what I do when I export, if I'm exporting for friends and family and that, I find that 1,000 pixels is plenty.
Okay.
Now, that's 1,000 pixels on the big side. Now, rather than say, okay, do it half size, which is what you're going to spit out is, I'm not sure what that even means in terms of pixels, probably 1,800, 2,000, I don't know. I specify and tell Aperture, okay, make the large side 1,000 and the other side just to correspond.
Okay.
So generally that can be, 667 pixels unless you've cropped the image and then you maybe have a different aspect ratio.
Right.
So that's for my friends and family. I basically, sent it 1,000. That's a good size. You get this small enough to share and big enough to enjoy. The only problem.
You should get a t-shirt that says that.
That's a bumper sticker.
That's a good one.
Wow.
Yeah.
You made it weird.
Okay.
The only downside I don't like about that is that it's large enough that some people get prints made from that.
Really?
And I would rather, they don't think about it. They just, because not everybody thinks about, oh, well, I need it to be X amount of pixels. They just go, oh, this looks good. I'll get it printed. And then I think, wow, if you'd let me know, I would have given you the full, the full 21 megapixel. Well, it won't be that big. It'd be six meg file. You can get prints from that. I don't mind sharing.
Yeah.
So that's the only downside. But for friends and family, 1,000 pixels, it looks good on the screen. And they can also email them to their friends. Now, for stuff I put on the web, generally people tend to put them very small, like 640, so that no one's going to steal their images. I find that 800 is the good size.
Okay.
So you'll find that all the two hosers images are 800 pixels and then usually 533 wide or corresponding side.
Right.
I don't watermark for my friends. You'll notice that on our two hosers has a little two hosers on it.
Yeah.
That's so people can find us, of course. But generally, I don't put watermarks on. I just want people to enjoy my images. But that's a whole nother episode that we're not going to do.
Okay.
So there's that. Well, that leaves us now with how we basically manage all of our files and back everything up. And guess what? That's going to happen.
Next episode?
Next episode, cliffhanger.
You said it this time.
That is the cliffhanger. That's right there.
All right.
So before we get out of here.
Yes.
And get back to our busy lives.
Yes.
You got a photo challenge?
No.
I got one.
Perfect.
A deliberately no, just kidding. this week's challenge is a simple one. It's simplicity. That's the challenge.
Okay. I'm not sure what that means.
And I don't mean simplicity like in the Silence of the Lambs when they realize that the dress is called simplicity, the dress style. It was a really weird ending. No, didn't see that one?
No, I saw it, but I'm waiting for you to get to the point. You said it's not like that, but how did you mean it?
I kind of thought a Silence of the Lambs reference might get a little more reaction out of you. But
I'm just trying to bring it home here.
Yeah. I feel like you left a lot of the funny on the cutting room floor this week. People expected you to be funnier, and you
no. I down. See. The whole point is that if it shows up every episode, then people come to expect it. I want it to just pop up. You have to keep listening. Is this one where Adam's going to be amusing or no? No, he's just going to be boring this time.
Okay, check your contract. 5% funnier each week.
Okay, all right.
Compounds, man.
All right.
Okay, starting next week, okay?
Starting next week.
Next week, you'll open with an apology and then rolling. Okay, so, yeah, simplicity, I want you to take a picture that is simple. Now, interpret that however you like.
Okay.
So
I'm going to be thinking about it.
If you take a picture that's complicated, I am going to just freak out.
Okay, simple.
I'm going to smash your camera with a hammer.
I will do simple.
Okay.
Maybe my then I can get a new camera.
Yes, one that focuses properly. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, you were rolling on this, right?
Rolling. What do you mean rolling?
Recording.
No.
Yeah, I hope you were.
No, I was. 52 minutes right now.
Okay. That was a test. All right. Well, that's it. We have our photo challenge. So until next week, Adam and everybody else out there, go make better photos.
Wait.
What?
Where can we find our stuff?
Oh, for crying out loud.
you gotta, we mention it every time. You can't skip it this time.
Yeah, I wrote it down. It's way at the bottom of the screen there. I didn't see it.
I should have just let you go.
You should have just let, yeah, now I'm going to drag it out and make you wish that you hadn't.
Okay, where can we find your stuff, Al?
Oh, man, look at something shiny over there. As always, you can find my stuff at alnatridge.com. You can find the two of us, twohosers.com, and from there you can find a bunch of stuff. We're on Google Plus. I haven't put a link up yet. I got to put a link up on our site.
Okay.
On for Google Plus, you got our Flickr site from there, Twitter, Two Hosers at the Twitter, and Adam, yours.
You can find my stuff on schwartzchronicles.com. And just a plug out there, I did write a guest blog post for a friend. We mentioned her on a previous episode, Lilability, and it's Lilability. I don't know, something like that. You can Google it. But she writes a blog, and I wrote a guest post about photography tips for the holiday season. So,
How about we go to Schwartz Chronicles, and you look on the right hand side, and there's a link to her site.
That's a. You know what? There probably is a link there.
No, there is. I've seen it.
There you go. Yeah. All right. So, anyways,
that's how we do. That's how the internet works, Adam.
Check that out, because I think it's a fantastic blog post, which should appear in the next couple of days.
Plus, she's probably listening to this, but by now, of course, the weather has turned and it's great because it's probably June or July.
Yeah, yeah, and it won't be posted anymore.
Right. Great point. So that's it. I think we're sorted out now.
Take us home one more time.
Let's repeat that. I can do it better this time. Okay, so I'm glad you stopped me. Okay, until next week, Adam and everybody else out there, get out there and make better photos.